The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Couple of announcements. We did last Wednesday midweek service. Is this Wednesday here at 7 o'clock? Thursday, Helen has a big day. We have questioning. She did very well there, didn't she?
I thought so.
We practiced. And so you're invited to come to listen to the questioning. And we'll have a surprise for you guys here when you come, too. So, questioning will be at 6:30. And then, all Sunday, she'll be confirmed. A bunch of you that go to the Minnesota Market Confessionals, Pastor Yurhak used to be up in Cross Lake. He had to have two stents put in. Wednesday, I think, we got an email. Are you on the list, Carmen?
No.
Okay. Gail, are you on the list, the Minnesota North list? So you saw that. Okay. He had two stents put in, and he's what, 65? He seems pretty healthy. And we got a visitor today. What's your name again?
I'm Gordon Gray.
Gordon Gray? Do you know the Grays here?
I believe so.
You guys are surprised. So, next Sunday, then after next Sunday, Monday, Thursday, Holy Thursday is out at Emmanuel. Good Friday is here, we'll go up at 7. And then Easter Sunday, sunrise service is at 6 o'clock at Emmanuel, and you have church at 9 here. Anybody else have announcements? Yes.
The Easter breakfast sign up, Brianna made a sign up sheet for that, and that will be posted by the kitchen window.
Okay. Yes.
Elders meeting.
Oh, elders meeting. That's it. Okay. This is a busy week. Elders meeting at 7 tomorrow night. Yes.
Bible study Thursday at 1 o'clock.
Yeah, that's right. Forgot about that too. It was supposed to be this Thursday, but we have to change it.
And ladies eat after.
Okay. Anything else? Maybe I should have said that. But we're going to keep adding on. Order of service is page 15. Reminder that it's the first Sunday, so we will say the Apostles' Creed this Sunday. Please rise as we can start with our first hymn.
Thank you.
and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And thou forgivest iniquity of my sins.
Almighty God,
merciful Father, I am a poor miserable sinner. Confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal judgment. But I am not sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy innocent of his sufferings and death, of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a merciful being.
Father, this is your confession, and by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Continue with your intro printed in your bulletin. Vindicate me, O God,
and defend my cause against the sons of God.
From the deceitful and unjust man, deliver me.
For you are the God, and you intend to take refuge.
Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me.
Let them lead me to your holy hill and to your dwelling.
Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy.
And I will praise you with the fire of the Lord on my
mouth. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me?
Open God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God.
Vindicate me, O God,
and defend my cause against the sons of my people.
From the deceitful and unjust man, deliver me.
For you are the God.
Continue with hymn 179.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, by your great goodness, mercifully look upon your people, that we may be governed and preserved evermore in body and soul, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Confessional reading for this morning is on the sacrament of the altar. What is the sacrament of the altar?
It is the true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, under the bread and the wine, for us Christians to eat and to drink, instituted by Christ himself.
The Old Testament reading for the fifth Sunday in Lent. It's from the 22nd chapter of Genesis, beginning with verse 1. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. And he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering, and he arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. Then he said, Look, the fire, the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, Here I am. And he said, Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place, The Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Here endeth the Old Testament reading. We continue with the gradual for this morning. Deliver me from my enemies, O Lord.
Teach me to do your will, for you are my God.
You delivered me from my enemies.
You rescued me from the man of violence.
The epistle reading is from the 9th chapter of Hebrews, beginning with the 11th verse. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with a greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands, that is, not of this creation. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. Here endeth the epistle reading. Please rise for the Alleluia verse. Greatly have they afflicted me from my youth. Greatly have they afflicted me from my youth. The plowers pull plow upon my back.
They make long with your roses. The Lord is righteous. He has cut cords with the living.
Holy Gospel is written in the 8th chapter of St. John, beginning with verse 42. Then Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And I tell the truth. Why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore you do not hear, because you are not of God." Then the Jews answered and said to him, "Do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Most assuredly I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death." Then the Jews said to him, "Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead, and the prophets are dead? Who do you make yourself out to be?" Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Then the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." Then they took up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Here endeth the gospel reading. Let us confess the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe
in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, the only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate,
Please be seated as we sing "My Song Is Love Unknown." It should be inserted in your bulletin.
Thank you.
sermon is based on John 8, verse 47. And I tell you the truth. Why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear, because you are not of God. The sermon theme is, whose voice do you hear? The grace, mercy, and peace of Christ Jesus rest upon each and every one of you. Amen.
Amen.
While St. John speaks of the Jews as Jesus' opponents in the Gospel reading, but that doesn't sit right with your 21st century ears, because it's not politically correct. John makes the Jews out to be bad guys. And indeed, in recent decades, the Gospel of John has been accused of anti-Semitism. Of course, John was not anti-Semitic. John himself was a Jew. Jesus himself was a Jew. All of his disciples were Jewish. Actually, everyone in the Gospel reading, including the author, is Jewish. Nevertheless, the author John uses the title Jews to refer to those Jews who follow the Jewish religious leaders. It's a figure of speech called synecdoche, in which part is referred to as a whole or vice versa. So as an example, the Philadelphia Eagles won the Super Bowl. Obviously, not everyone who lives in Philadelphia won the Super Bowl, but the players for the team won the Super Bowl. They represented Philadelphia in the Super Bowl. So John calls those who follow the Jewish religious elite Jews, even though he is not speaking of everyone of Jewish descent. They're saints in Christ. He does this a bit sarcastically. The term Jew refers to those descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, God's chosen people. Nevertheless, these Jews are Jews in name only. How can that be? Because not everyone who has Jewish blood is a child of Abraham and son of God. But rather, those who believe the words of God are true children of God and members of the household of Israel. As St. Paul, another Jew, wrote in his letter to the Christians in Rome, "For not all who are descended from Israel belong to Israel. Not all are children of Abraham, because they are his offspring. But through Isaac shall your offspring be named." And again, this Jewish apostle wrote in his letter to the Christians in Galatia, "Know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, if you shall all, in you shall all the nations be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith." These Jews opposed Jesus. They were proud to be Jews. They called themselves the son of Abraham, even sons of God. They thought they were the children of Abraham and that God was their father, just because they were born of Jewish parents. But as Jesus points out, they did not do the works of Abraham or listen to God's word. "Whoever is of God hears the words of God," Jesus says. Because they did not listen to Jesus' words, Jesus rightly concluded that these Jews were Jews in name only, and were rightly called children of the devil. What a difference. They accused Jesus of being a Samaritan, meaning a non-Jewish foreigner who has a demon. Jesus claims rather to be the Son of God. They claim to be the true children of Abraham with God as their father. But Jesus accuses them of being children of the devil, who do his evil will. What Jesus says is true. But these Jews are in name only, and what they say is false. Jesus is the true Son of God, the promised seed of Abraham, who is a blessing to all peoples. These Jews who rejected Jesus' words are children of the devil like the rest of mankind, who reject God's word. You see, children of God are not born according to the flesh. Children of God are born only according to the Spirit. It does not matter who your parents are. It does not matter what nation you belong to, what color skin you have, what language you speak. Not even your membership in a local congregation determines whether you are a child of God. You are only a child of God when you hear and believe the words of God. Jesus says earlier in this chapter, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So if you do not abide in Jesus' word, then you are not of God. There is no neutral ground. You are either of God or you are of the devil. All mankind is born bound to Satan. You are children of wrath. That is why you baptize babies. If you are not with God, you are against God. If you are not a child of God, then you are a slave of Satan. Now, this isn't just speech. This is reality. Those who do not believe the words of God work against God. They deny the divinity of Christ. They deny the power to give eternal life to whoever believes in him. They reject the command to repent of sins and trust in God's mercy. So it's important that you examine yourself and ask, am I a Christian in name only? These Jews were children of Abraham only in name, but not in reality. They did not listen to the God of Abraham, the God that Abraham trusted in, or else they would have recognized Jesus as the promised Christ. And many are Christians in name only. They call themselves Christians. They call God their Father, but they do not hear the words of God. They do not abide in the words of Christ. This certainly is a condemnation against Christians who neglect hearing and learning God's word. There's a commonly repeated phrase that has caused much harm to the souls of many Christians. You don't have to go to church to be a Christian. Now, on a very shallow level, this is true. But many of Satan's lies have a smattering of truth. You don't have to go to a church building and worship God there in order to be a Christian. Do you take a break from being Christians because you stopped going to church? Certainly not. You still trust in your Savior Jesus and gladly hear and learn his word as you are able. Likewise, your homebound members, those who are in the hospital, those in the military or otherwise unable to physically to go to a church building are still Christians as long as they have faith in Christ and gladly hear his words. But the statement, You don't have to go to church to be a Christian. It's not used to mean that you don't need to go to a church building to be a Christian. No one believes that you do. Rather, this statement is used to excuse not hearing and not learning God's word. Whoever Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." So what else is the church other than Jesus' sheep? What else does it mean to gather as the church other than gathering around the voice of Christ? So if you refuse to hear this voice, you are not of God. And let this be a warning to all who refuse to hear God's preaching and word. That is not how Christians behave. If you find yourself behaving this way, repent and believe in the gospel. Saints in Christ, it is not only those who refuse to hear the word of God preached who are Christians in name only. The Jews who opposed Jesus, in fact, did listen to lots of preaching, but they rejected the true preaching and listened to lies. There are many churches that claim the name Christian, but they reject the teachings of Christ. Many say that it doesn't matter what a church teaches. All that matters is that you love Jesus. Well, that's simply not true. It does matter what a church teaches, because it matters what Jesus teaches. Jesus preached repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And many churches with the name Christian refuse to teach that people should repent of their sins. Like dogs that refuse to bark when a burglar breaks in at night, so these preachers refuse to warn people of the danger of their sin, as Jesus Christ commanded. Yes, many churches with the name Christian deny that Jesus is the only way to heaven. In saying this, they say that Jesus is equal to Satan. No, you must not just call yourself Christians. You must do as Christians do. You must hear the words of Christ, abide in his word, and do the works of God. This means that you should also mark and avoid those churches that claim to be Christian while they reject the teachings of Christ from the Bible. So what does Jesus teach you? From this gospel reading alone, Jesus teaches you the way to everlasting life. These Jews denied a God who could give eternal life. They confessed that Abraham was dead and that the prophets were dead. But Jesus preaches a God of the living, a God who is not the God of the dead. He preaches a God who gives eternal life to all who believe in Christ. Jesus says that Abraham rejoiced to see his day. He saw it and was glad. So how could Abraham, who lived some 2,000 years before Jesus, have seen Jesus, who was just a 30-ish-year-old man? Because Jesus is Christ, the Son of the living God. God promised to send the Christ through Abraham's lineage. Abraham believed this promise by faith. Abraham saw Jesus through faith. When he, according to God's word, attempted to sacrifice his only son, Isaac, whom he loved, but Christ stopped Abraham and instead provided a ram. So Abraham confessed that God would provide, that God would provide a sacrifice that would make the atonement for all your sins. God did not require Abraham to sacrifice his only son whom he loved, However, God would sacrifice his only son, the one whom he loved. You see, God would provide. Jesus Christ is the appointed sacrifice for your sins. His blood makes atonement. It makes satisfaction for those sins. And how can this be? How can one man's death make satisfaction for the sins of the whole world? Again, Jesus tells you, before Abraham was, I am. Not before Abraham was, I was. He's not just older than Abraham. Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am. God told Moses at the burning bush that his name was, I am. So the people of God called him Yahweh, which is translated, he is. He is. He always is. He has no beginning and no end. Jesus says, I am. Jesus is God. He is before Abraham. He is now. He is forever. The sacrifice of Jesus upon the cross is the sacrifice of the eternal Son of God upon the cross. His death fully pays for all of your sins. If you believe Jesus is God, then believe that your sins are forgiven. The Jews scoffed that Jesus could give eternal life. He'd have to be eternal to do that. Well, Jesus is eternal. If they listened to him and believed his word, they would know that. Your faith in Christ is a matter of life and death, except at a much greater magnitude. You are talking eternal life or eternal damnation. If you shouldn't just listen to any old opinion on matters concerning earthly things, then you certainly shouldn't just listen to anyone's opinion on the matters of sin, righteousness, faith, and salvation. You should listen to Jesus. When someone spouts off their opinion about something not being a sin, not being important to your faith, what you should believe, you should ask where in the Bible it says that. Jesus says that in the scriptures, you have eternal life because the scriptures bear witness about him. That is why you hold the Bible so dearly. That is why you expect your pastors to teach you from the Bible, not their own opinions or according to their desires or the desires of itching ears. You see, when you listen to those who dismiss what the Bible teaches, you do not follow Jesus. But instead, you follow your own sinful desires and the will of the devil. And this is a deadly path that leads to being a Christian in name only, but not in reality. However, when you listen to Jesus, what do you learn? You learn your need to repent of your sins. You learn to be humble before God and before others. But you also learn of the only God who saves. You learn that God provided his very own Son to be the sacrifice of all your sins. You learn that his blood forgives you and gives you eternal life. You learn that this God, who provides you with eternal life, also provides for your daily needs as often as you ask him. Dear saints in Christ, when you listen and cherish the words of Christ, you learn that you are children of God. You learn that as God's children who keep his words, you will never see death. Amen. Amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.
Amen. Frowned upon the awful tree, King of grave, I watch with thee. Darkness veils thine anguished face, not its lines of woe can trace. None can tell what pangs unknown hold thee silent and alone. Silent through these three dread hours, wrestling with the evil powers, left alone with human sin, gloom around thee. Hark that cry that peals aloud, upward through the whelming cloud. Thou the Father's only Son, thou his own anointed one. Thou dost ask him, can it be, why hast thou forsaken me? Should fear and anguish roll darkly o'er my sinful soul, thou once wast the Spirit, that thine own might ne'er be left. Teach me by that bitter cry in the gloom to know thee nigh.
For the whole church of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. Holy Father, you have received your ascended Son back into your more perfect tent of heaven, his sacrifice now complete. Give your church an abundance of peace, knowing that he has purified our consciences from dead works, prepared the way to our eternal inheritance. Lord, in your mercy, O eternal Lord, your Son has given us the new birth of water and the Word and planted faith in us, that we might be his own children. Bless your church. Bless her with able, fearless, and caring pastors to nourish us in your Word. Raise up faithful fathers and those who teach and pray in your name in every Christian household. Keep your church in your mercy, that she may believe and love without fear. Lord, in your mercy, uphold all civil authorities, especially Donald, our president, Tim, our governor. Preserve our nation in peace and allow your people to live quiet and peaceable lives in godliness and honesty. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, do not cast down the souls in turmoil, but call them continually to yourself and your truth. Sustain Roger, Sarah, Helen, Rod, Bev, Carlene, Carol, Pastor Mo, Denny, Ruth, Janet, Roger, Micah, Lincoln, Eric, Rachel, Deanna, Brianna, Chuck, Gordon, Pastor Fish, Mary, Pastor Yernak, Vicar Langton family, and the Leslie family, and all who are suffering amongst us. Lighten their darkness,
Bring your joy to every sorrow and defend them against all evil. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Prepare our hearts, O God, and give us faith in your word of your Son, our great High Priest, and the mediator of the New Testament in his blood. Make us worthy to eat his very body and drink his very blood, that in full confidence we may go to the altar of God to our exceeding joy. Lord, in your mercy,
hear
our prayers. Gracious Lord, we give thanks that in the waters of holy baptism we receive the forgiveness of sins, deliverance from death and the devil, and eternal salvation. On this baptismal anniversary, bless Pastor Marjorie and Raymond continually by your word and spirit, that they may faithfully keep the covenant into which they have been called, boldly confess their Savior, and finally share with all your saints the joys of eternal life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
You saw Israel in their despair and raised them up to hope by placing your Spirit upon them. Join us together with the communion of saints in Christ. Raise up our dry and weary spirits by your Holy Spirit, that we may be strong in faith, bold in witness, holy in life, and steadfast in love. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord God Almighty, through your Son, you have kept the promise of the ages and rescued us from sin. You have raised up the dry bones of a people captive to death and made alive in Christ forever. Sustain us in this hope, that we may endure the tests, trials, and troubles of this life, and be ready when our Savior comes again in his glory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We can continue with the communion hymn. Question one, do you believe that you are a sinner?
Yes, I believe it. I am a sinner.
How do you know this?
From the Ten Commandments, which I know I have.
Are you sorry for your sins?
Yes, I am sorry that I was receiving your sorrow.
What have you deserved from God because of your sins?
His wrath and displeasure, temporal death, and eternal damnation.
Do you hope to be saved?
Yes, that is my hope.
In whom then do you trust?
In my dear Lord Jesus Christ.
Who is Christ?
The Son of God, true God,
man. How many gods are there?
Holy One, there are three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
What has Christ done for you that you trust in him?
He died for me and shed his blood for me on the cross for my forgiveness and sins.
Did the Father also die for you?
He did not. The Father is God only, as is the Holy Spirit, but the Son is both true God and true man. He died for me and shed his blood for me.
How do you know this?
From the Holy Gospel, from the words instituted in the sacrament, and by his body and blood, communion and pledge to the sacrament.
What are the words of institution?
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This is to the remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This too is often as you drink it in remembrance of me."
Do you believe then that the true body and blood of Christ are in the sacrament?
Yes, I believe.
What convinces you to believe this?
The word of Christ, "Take ye, this is my body, drink of it, all of you, this is my blood."
What should we do when we eat his body and drink his blood, and in this way receive his pledge?
We should remember and proclaim his death, and shed his blood, as he taught us. This too is how often you drink it in remembrance of me.
Why should we remember and proclaim his death?
First, so that we may learn to believe that no creature can make such a perfection for our sins. Only Christ, true God and man, could do that. Second, so we may be able to be glorified by our sins and to regard them as very serious. Third, so we may find joy and comfort in Christ alone, and through faith in him be saved.
What motivated Christ to die and make full payment for your sins?
It is great love for his Father and for me and other sinners. As it is written in John 14, Romans 5, Galatians 2, and Ephesians 5.
Finally, why do you wish to go to the sacrament?
That I may learn to believe that Christ, out of great love, died for my sins, and also learn from him to love God and my neighbor.
What should admonish and encourage a Christian to receive the sacrament frequently?
First, both the command and the promise of Christ the Lord. Second, his own pressing need, because of which his command, encouragement, and promise are given.
What should you do if you are not aware of this need and have no hunger and thirst for the sacrament?
To such a person, no matter by asking any of his witness, first he should touch his body to see that he still has his flesh and blood. Then he should believe what the scripture says that he will touch his eyes and wounds and seven. Second, he should look around to see whether he is still in the world. And remember that there will be one last sin and trouble, as the scriptures say in John 15:16, and in 1 John 2:5. Third, he will certainly have the devil also around him, who with his lying and murdering day and night will let him have no peace with him or without him, as the scriptures prescribe in John 8:16, 1 Peter 5. Ephesians 5 and 2 Timothy 2.
Please rise as we continue with the service of the sacrament.
The Lord be with you.
It is meet and right.
Mary. Now we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you. Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with clenched hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we Lord magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, which is given for you, this do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Welcome. Take, eat. This is the true body of Christ, given unto death for your sin. Take, eat. This is the true body of Christ, given unto death for your sin. Take, eat. This is the true body of Christ, given unto death for your sin. Take, eat. This is the true body of Christ, given unto death for your sin. Take, eat. This is the true body of Christ, given unto death for your sin. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, keep me baptismal grace. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, keep me baptismal grace. Take, eat, the true body of Christ. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Now this true body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve your body and soul to life everlasting. Take, eat. This is the true body of Christ, given unto death for your sin. Take, eat. This is the true body of Christ, given unto death for your sin. Take, eat. This is the true body of Christ, given unto death for your sin. Take, eat. The true body of Christ, given unto death for your sin.
Amen.
shed remission among your sins.
Prepare me.
Let us pray. We give thanks to thee, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us for the same in faith toward thee and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.